Good afternoon. Thank you for joining At the Root of It on the Heritage Radio Network, www.heritageradionetwork.com, broadcasting out of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We have a very special guest this afternoon, Thomas Daroux from Palmer Estate, the Troisième Growth winery from the left bank of Bordeaux and Margaux. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know you're here this week for the wine experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the middle of harvest, yeah?
Well, it's the end of harvest. We have finished to harvest the last fruit last week, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the middle of winemaking, but the harvest is over now.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a bit of reading on the current harvest in Bordeaux. It seems to be, at this point, everyone gets really excited about hearing how the Bordeaux is going to be the top wines and the en primaire status. So the 2009 is looking quite good.
Yeah, more than that. I think for a lot of people in Bordeaux, 09 is something unseen before.
Really?
Yeah. I said the same thing in 05, that it was probably the best food I ever had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not know in 05 that 09 would come. This is really something very, very unique that we had this year.
Some have said that it's the strongest vintage in 20 to 30 years. Do you feel that way?
It depends.
Hard to see, so it's hard to see it?
Well, first, we have to wait a little bit longer to see how the wines will be. But it depends. I mean, in terms of climate, we had perfect conditions from beginning of July to end of harvest. So that means a lot. But in the past, other vintages were like that. I think what is very different from the last 20 or 30 or 40 years is that our techniques are much better. And we know how to deal with a lot of different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So if my sensation is right, I think for a lot of properties in Bordeaux, the 09 will be the best wine ever for a lot of properties.
And that's same true on the right bank as much as the left in terms of strength, or?
Well, I have to be honest. I was not in Saint-Emilion au Pomerol, so
no.
I didn't have a chance to see the fruit, but I think that the
overall
conditions were very good.
Yeah.
So for what I know, the Médoc and the south of it, the Margaux appellation, the conditions were really exceptional. Very dry condition, almost no rain in September. Beautiful weather, a lot of sun, but no heat,
mm-hmm.
Cool nights.
Mm-hmm.
So all the conditions you want to produce super fruit.
So the fruit is quite super, and some have mentioned that the alcohol levels might need to be watched a bit. Can you explain a little bit why, in a perfect vintage like 09, for instance, vintners maybe have to be careful a little bit about watching those alcohol levels?
Yeah, well, there's different things. I mean, you can watch, you can be careful with the alcohol, but the alcohol is what it is. I mean,
right.
When you have a high sugar concentration in the must, there's nothing you can do. I mean, we produce dry wine, so we have to make sure that the yeast will ferment and that all the sugar will be transformed into alcohol. I think the two questions was high level of alcohol in wines and in Bordeaux wines, it's first the extraction.
Mm-hmm.
The more alcohol you have in a wine or in the must fermenting, the more you extract from the skin and the seeds. And the deal is to make sure that you will not extract things you don't want. So we have to be very careful in extraction. What we have decided in at Palmer was to extract and so to do those pumping over mostly at the beginning of fermentation,
mm-hmm.
when the alcohol level were quite low, and then to ferment at lower temperature than usual. because that's the same thing. The higher the temperature is, the more extraction you have. So, well, we played with time instead to play with physical tools like pumping over or temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other challenge was with high alcohol content, as we will have this year, is to have balanced wine.
Sure.
And what is magic in 09 is that, of course, we have high alcohol, but we have nice acidities.
Mm-hmm.
We have ripe tannins, and we have fresh aromas. So in terms of balance, you know, in the side you have the alcohol, on the other side you have acidity and tannins. And because we have both nice acidity and beautiful tannins, I think that we will have a balanced wine. And the other thing is the aromas are not overripe aromas.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfectly pure. And that's something that impressed me a lot with the 09 vintage. We were able to see from the beginning, as soon as the fruit were in the tank, we were able to see the origin of the fruit. You know, we know our blocks, our vineyard pretty well. We know that the blocks, the block number two, produce this kind of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to wait the end of the maceration to see it. But in 09, after one day in the tank, it was clear.
Really?
What was the origin. So, wonderful vintage, incredible climate, but respectful of the terroir.
Sure.
This famous word that we love so much in France.
And all around the world these days, yeah.
Yeah, true.
So how do you think this is going to affect the pricing? It's always a question that comes out about this time with respect to Emprimeur and the Bordeaux pricing for the 2009 vintage. Is it also too early to dictate?
Well, honestly, I'm so excited about what we have in the tank. I'm so excited to taste the wine that I'm not interested to even think about the pricing. I think we speak too much about money nowadays. Well, this is, you know, harvest, vinification is the best moment of the year for a winemaker, for an estate manager. So let's keep it that way.
Right.
Let's just think about the wine at the moment. Let's try to tell people how excited, how exciting we are. And then we'll have time to think about
sort
the price.
Sort that out a little bit later.
Yeah.
We are going to take a short break and be back to speak a little bit about Thomas's experience in Italy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At the Root of It. This is Erin Fitzpatrick from Roberta's Restaurant. My guest this afternoon is Thomas Deroux from Chateau Palmer. And we just wrapped up the previous segment with respect to the 2009 vintage. We would like to move into this next segment by tapping upon one more thing with respect to pricing as we grow into a larger wine market. I was telling Thomas before the show, I just got back from Asia, and in Hong Kong, there's no more tax on wine, which is exciting for wine enthusiasts who can walk into any store and pick up some fantastic Bordeaux, and especially they have a huge selection of Bordeaux. It seems that that's the wine of choice. So there is a growing worldwide demand, I'd say, in Asia as well. Have you experienced this from a selling standpoint?
Yes, of course. Asia is more and more important. Well, especially we have seen in vintages like 07 and 08 that this demand is increasing. Also for the en primeur sales. When, you know, in the previous vintages, market like China were not really excited to buy mm-hmm. wines en primeur. Now, well, they start to understand that to secure allocation, they have to buy wines en primeur. So it will be very interesting to see what happened in a vintage like 09, where the demand will be huge, and even in, of course, in the US, how we will in Bordeaux deal was this different market.
Mm-hmm.
What is for sure is that in a property like Palmer, we have a certain number of hectares, and we cannot produce more.
Right.
We cannot adapt the number of bottles to the demand.
Of course,
what
yeah.
we do is what we can do, and that's it.
And it's already rather small production.
It's a small production. Our yield are quite low. Our vineyard is old, and that's why we produce great wines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an average for us would be 8,000 to 10,000 cases of Palmer. So that's not
doesn't
a lot.
Go far when you have auctions all over the world and enthusiasts.
Of course.
Of Palmer as well to get their hands on that.
I agree.
And the auction market seems that it's growing substantially
yeah, well,
in China.
Yeah, it's very true. Auction market is a great possibility for this new market to put a hand on old vintages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stronger and stronger.
And do you think that that will affect the pricing as well going forward? The more demand, given the fact that you can't produce anymore, people are going to be willing to pay more for it.
Well, that's a simple rule of the capitalism.
Supply and demand,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, supply and demand. You know that very well in this country,
yes,
right?
We do. Well, we'll switch gears a moment to speak a bit about your history. I know you joined Chateau Palmer in 2004, is that right?
Yes.
And before that, where were you?
Before that, I was in Italy. I was the winemaker for Tenuta dell'Ornellaia in Bulgaria.
Super Tuscan.
Super Tuscan. Mm-hmm. Super Tuscan created by Ludovic Antinori and now owned by the Frescobaldi family.
And how long were you there for?
3 years. I was involved in three vintages. 01, that is an incredible vintage for Bulgari. 02, that was a rainy vintage. And 03, that was a super hot vintage.
Super hot, mm. Yeah. Mm. So quite the range for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the blend in Ornellaia has a large percentage of Cabernet Sauvignon as well. What are the characteristics that you found grape-growing Cabernet in Bordeaux as opposed to Tuscany?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely a difference of soil, of terroir. In Bulgaria, it's quite complex. There's a lot of influence from the sea, from the volcanic mountains, from an old river, an old delta. But I think the main difference is definitely the climate. In Bordeaux, it's an oceanic climate, an Atlantic climate. In Bulgaria, it's Mediterranean. So the expression of those grape variety are quite different. You know, in Italy, it's a very Latin expression. There's a great variety. You speak with the hands, you know, mm-hmm. with a lot of charm and power. When in Bordeaux, it's more British, very precise.
Buttons up, yeah.
And sometimes a little bit strict. But there's also a common point, and the common point is the water, Mediterranean, Atlantic Ocean, and the influence of it.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, this water, the sea balance the climate, and in both cases, the acidity is a very important component of the wines, of the fruit. And so, we discussed about alcohol earlier. In Bulgaria, every year, Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot are harvested at a very high alcohol potential.
Mm-hmm.
But the wines are in balance because of the acidity, and they have the acidity because of the Mediterranean Sea.
Would you say that these are two prime regions in the world for growing Cabernet Sauvignon?
Well, I remember a few years ago when I just started at Ornellaia, the Mondavi were involved in the property, and we had a series of events in the U.S., one in New York, and we had this beautiful dinner. Tim Mondavi was here, Eduardo Chadwick, and other people linked to the Mondavi family.
Right.
And I had to make a speech about Bulgari, about Ornellaia. I was younger than today, a little bit impressed. And I said, I think... there are just two regions in the world where world-class Cabernet Sauvignon can be produced, Bordeaux and Bulgari. And suddenly I realized that Tim Mondavi was next to me and that he produced Cabernet Sauvignon in Napa. So, but definitely Bulgari and
so we'll make it a triangle then.
Yeah. But no, those two areas are very, very good for Cabernet, Cabernet especially, Merlot in Bordeaux. Merlot also in Bulgaria, but not everywhere, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the movement, I mean, you were obviously in the height, or I'd say close to the height of the rage about Super Tuscans when you were working at Ornellaia. I mean, that was, I think in the early in 2000s, people were still pretty excited about some of these Super Tuscans, as they still are, but you don't quite hear it as much. Were you feeling the excitement at that point, or is there still a span of time that you think back to with respect to the height of Super Tuscans in the market?
Well, I never liked so much this idea of Super Tuscan when I had to speak about the wine of Bulgari and the wine of Ornellaia, because of course all over Tuscany wines are produced with Sangiovese, of course, and then Merlot and Cabernet to make them bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But Bulgari was born as a wine region with the Cabernet and the Merlot.
Already planted there.
Well, it was Marchese Incisa della Rocchetta, the founder of Sassicaia, who had the idea to plant Cabernet Sauvignon in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bulgari, the only wine that were produced were very bad wine with Sangiovese,
mm-hmm.
or Rosé. So nothing really exciting.
Right.
And Bulgari emerged with Sassicaia, with the Cabernet Sauvignon, and that was confirmed by Ornellaia. So, you know, Bulgari is not a Super Tuscan. Bulgari is a small appellation that does exist because of those variety from Bordeaux, of course, but those variety who that express themselves differently than they do in Bordeaux.
So there's a richer history there than with respect to that varietal existing already.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, there's those Super Tuscan, mm-hmm. kind of international style, mm-hmm. blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. And there is Bulgari.
Right. Okay. You know? Okay. Well, that's interesting to note.
Well.
That's why we're on the topic, right?
Yeah.
Well, good. We're going to switch gears back to Bordeaux on our final segment here and take a short break. Why? Why? Welcome back to At the Root of It. This is Aaron Fitzpatrick at theheritageradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsor, TechServe, specializing in Mac products on West 23rd Street, and to our producer, Lorenzo Raggiuneri, and engineer, Nat Wiener. So as we were chatting during the break, we have another guest here who's the ghost guest in the previous two segments who's going to chime in on the last segment, Jean-Louis Carbonnier.
Thank you.
And we were speaking a bit about Bulgari and the history, the rich history there, that sometimes we group all the Tuscan wines together. And Thomas was talking about the differences between Ornellaia and a super Tuscan such as Sassicaia, making more of a international modern style wine. And Jean-Louis brought up a good point, which I'd love for you to share.
Well, this was the question of maturity, the difference in maturity between specifically Bordeaux and Margaux at Chateau Palmer versus Ornellaia, where Thomas was active some years ago. And I think Thomas should be the one to explain these, you know, technical details, because I think it's very relevant to understand that when you talk about maturity, the level of alcohol in wine, it's not something that's arbitrary. You know, the climate, the terroir in Bordeaux is going to dictate something different mm-hmm. than what you're working with if you are in Bulgaria or in other places around the world.
Yeah, well, good point. Just to say something, Sassicaia is also a wine from Bulgaria. So I think that Sassicaia and Ornellaia are two wines from Bulgaria, and Super Tuscan are more other wines that you can find in other regions from Tuscany. Mm. They use both Sangiovese and Bordeaux grape variety.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But about what you said, Jean-Louis, I think what is very important to understand is that there is several level of maturity, several level of ripeness. There is three level of ripeness. The classic one is the one we call technological ripeness. This is just the level of sugar and the level of acidity that we measure in the fruit. And we use this to decide if it's ripe or not. And in the 80s in Bordeaux, that's the only maturity that was considered. There is another level of maturity, another level of ripeness, this what we call the phenolic ripeness. And this is the ripeness of the tannin component of the skin. And the last maturity is the aromatic maturity. Okay, so what happened in a vintage like 09 in Bordeaux, or what happened in a climate like the one you have in Bulgari, is that there is a difference in time between the two maturity, the technological and the phenolic maturity. 30 years ago, with the same condition that we had this year in 09, we would have harvested probably beginning of September, when the sugar was around 13 alcohol potential. But because we understand much better today what phenolic maturity means, we had to wait longer to make sure that the tannins would be ripe enough. And that's why our alcohol are high. That's why we have 14 and sometimes even 15 with the Merlot, because that was the price to pay to have the ripe tannins. And that would happen almost every year in Bulgari. To make sure that the Cabernet are ripe, that the tannins are ripe, you have to reach this level of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to understand. You know, in 09, fruit harvested beginning of September at 13 with unripe tannin would have been totally unbalanced. When with ripe tannin, even if you have 14, the wine will be balanced. And that's really a key to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. You grew up in Bordeaux?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you get into the wine business right away, or was that something that you grew into?
No, well, it was just a question of passion. My parents have nothing to do with the wine, but a lot of people in Bordeaux have connection, of course. And when I was 16... the father of one of my best friends had a beautiful cellar, and so we used to go in the cellar to take some bottles to experience the drunk thing, you know.
Lucky you. Yeah.
And we had absolutely no idea what we were drinking.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And
did his father have any idea what you were drinking?
Well, yes, he did. But he had a very good reaction. He said, well, instead to drink wine, you don't know what you're doing. Let's just taste wine together. And I will educate you. And that's how the passion came. And that's how I started to think that that would be a nice career.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there is quite a bit of pressure in Bordeaux to participate in the family business if it's not something that a son or a daughter has necessarily interest or exposure to?
Yes, of course. It's like in every other family. When there is a tradition in your family, when your family own a business, there's always a pressure to continue the business. But I think the difference is in the wine business, it's very difficult to do something without passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes the drama in Bordeaux. You know, there's a very famous property owned by a generation that is not really passionate about the wine. And so it's an off period for the property.
And you can taste that.
And of course,
yeah.
It's you know, the link between the product and the passion of the owner or the producer is so evident,
mm-hmm.
that you can taste the wine and say, well, yeah, it's probably a great terroir. There's probably everything you need, but there is no passion in this wine. Let's wait for the next generation.
So then how would you compare that to so many of the properties that are using consulting enologists, such as Michel Roland?
Well, I think, you know, there's two different aspects. For properties or just new properties, to ask help,
mm-hmm.
Is something important to understand what has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And for property with a very long tradition, it's also important to be helped and to have at least someone from the outside who has an overview, mm-hmm. on what happened. Because sometimes you are so deeply involved in what you do, you forget things, you forget basics. And Michel Roland, Denis Dubourdieu, well, and a lot of consultants can help, but there's different way to help. In the top names of Bordeaux, Palmer, Margaux, Lafitte, we all use consultants,
mm-hmm.
but they are not winemakers.
Mm-hmm.
They are just people who come several times a year to discuss with us and to have an overview on what we're doing. And sometimes they have an idea, we have another, but we decide because we are responsible for it. You know?
Do they help you evaluate your brand as well?
Well, they give us an idea, and when they are honest, and they are most of them honest, they say what they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's I think a topic we could probably have a whole entire other show on.
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
But I know that you need to be going. There is an event this evening, an annual event called the Wine Experience, which you'll be pouring 1999 Chateau Palmer.
That's it.
So all lucky those who will visit your booth, your table there.
Well, you are more than welcome.
Oh, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before closing up this afternoon?
No, well, just thank you. It was a great discussion.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Good for me to practice my English, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.